Well, at first, Peter, James, and John wanted to stay on the mountain. Then they were afraid. And then at last, they saw no one but Jesus only, and they followed him where he went. But trouble was still to come because their journey wasn't done yet. I mean, right now, they just see Jesus only. They were focused. But as we know, the flesh is weak. They followed Jesus into Gethsemane, and they couldn't stay awake. And when Judas kissed Jesus, betraying him, Peter grew angry, and he lashed out with violence. John, he followed at a distance, and he took advantage of his connections, but was too afraid to speak. James just simply ran away. On the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, we're told they would have liked to have stayed there. They didn't seem to want any part of a different mount, Mount Calvary, where God was revealed and seen not in glory, but in his humble, bloody, dying mercy. To their shame, the disciples didn't want that. Yet Moses and Elijah came to the Mount of Transfiguration in the only way that men could do, by means of death. There's no other way. You either die to this life and ascend, or you die in eternal death and descend. In this, all men are the same. All men die. Even those still living at the return of our Lord will have either died in baptism and therefore go to life, or they will die eternal death. But we also know that Peter did learn. He wept bitter tears of shame and sorrow. His bravado, his idea of building tabernacles, to the glory of God, of course, fell away to nothing when faced with God's glory on that mountain. Peter was afraid. And then he fell away again when faced with our Lord's willingness to suffer and die for men who hated him. Peter's courage left in the face of God's faithfulness and loyalty to betrayers and rebels. I mean, it was all just too much. It was too great, too incomprehensible, too wonderful to behold. And thus did Peter weep. For in the face of that great love and loyalty, Peter knew just how far he had sunk. How awful were the things that he had done. How disgusting were the things that he had said and thought. How terrible were the lies that he had told. How false and shameful was his bravado and his pretending piety. The eyes of the Lord fell upon him. And then, as we're told, the rooster crowed and Peter wept. And so I ask, for whom does the rooster crow? Well, for Peter, yes, but also for you. For all of you betrayers and cowards, every one of you. All self-serving, conniving, depraved to a man, in the image of Peter and Adam and David and of James and John. And let me ask, how cheaply will you sell your soul? Do you not even have the decency of Peter to be afraid? Are you so confident in your sins? Do you think that you can fool God like you fool men? I mean, you are a bunch of fools. Do you dare to challenge God and risk his wrath and his law? It's not enough to weary men. Will you weary God as well? How many times, I ask you, how many times will your dog soil the carpet and destroy your shoes and furniture and bite your children before you get rid of it or put it down? Why should God put up with you? Because you're worse and you're more disobedient, more self-willed, more unpredictable than any dog that ever breathed. Repent. Weep bitter tears. Turn from yourself and turn to Christ. But then arise and do not be afraid. Why should God put up with you? Because he is good. And his mercy endures forever, because he promised to be your God and to love you. And he, unlike men, does not lie. Arise and see Jesus only. Your own transfiguration is coming. Don't focus on yourself, but upon his unfailing love and promise. He went to that horrendous death like a lamb to the slaughter without complaint. He didn't go without knowledge or against his will. He went in perfect love with nothing more than the desire to make you his. for he knew that was the cost. He knew what it took to bring Peter and James and John, Moses and Elijah, David, Nathan, and even you to himself and his Father in heaven. He was always willing to pay it, and he never flinched or hesitated. He endured all of hell's fury to wipe away Peter's tears and yours too. It's worth it to him. You are worth it to him. He doesn't regret it. For his love for you is pure and undefiled. He cannot stop it. Death cannot hold him, and it will not hold you. He desires that your joy be full of joy in him, your peace complete and everlasting in him, your future assured and certain in him. He wants to be restored again to communion with you. And so he went to the cross of his own volition. He went to lay down his life and picked it up again. He has kept the promise of the transfiguration. He has brought the body born of Mary to its exaltation through the grave. He has made you his once again. His atoning death, his justifying resurrection, his life-giving ascension was his exodus from this world, and it is also your exodus. He is like the Old Testament cloud and light. He leads you out of death's shadow and slavery and into the promised land that Abraham now enjoys. So, dear people, arise and don't be afraid. He's more patient with you than you are with your pets or with yourself. His love is not stopped by your guilt. His law does not return simply by your sin. He has provided the lamb for the sacrifice. There's nothing more to pay, no sins left to forgive, nothing so bad or painful that he can't overcome. He's placed his name upon you. He is well pleased with you. And he provides this day for your nourishment and strength, for your courage and loyalty, his own body and blood. So do not be afraid. Eat, drink, rejoice, rest. He knows what he's doing. He's loving you, and he will never stop. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.